Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, when was the last time you were in the Australian Outback? When was the last opportunity you had to visit with a remote Aborigine tribe and receive healing from them? That's kind of rare. Maybe very few people have done it. Maybe very, very few people have done it. And we're going to talk about that with someone who did it. And her husband did it too, at separate times and for separate reasons. And it's a fascinating story with incredible results. And so I'm so excited because this author is now a friend. She's visiting in New York. Has written a book called Aboriginal Secrets of Awakening, A Journey of Healing and Spirituality with a Remote Australian Tribe. So we want to know what she learned and what her husband had learned and find out all about this. So to do that, I want to introduce you all to the author of the book, Robbie Hultz. Robbie, welcome.
Thanks, Peter. It's fun to be here.
Well, I'm so glad that you could communicate with us today to really give us a chance to understand what are these Aborigines about and what are they offering that we want to know more about.
I think that they have much to teach us now more than ever, and that's why I think it's important that this wisdom come out. I think that they are highly awakened and advanced, disguised as a primitive tribe, safeguarded and tucked away in this vast outback, and I think that we have much to learn.
And you found out. And let's talk first about your introduction to all of this through Gary. Can you explain a little bit about who Gary is?
Gary is my late husband. He was a physicist. He was an inventor. He had about 13 patents, most of them top secret. He had a very scientific mind. Black and white didn't exist if you couldn't prove it to me. We all know people like that. And he had multiple sclerosis. He was given a death sentence by his doctors that he really didn't have much time to live. He had about 6 months. And Western medicine didn't have anything that they could offer him. And he met a woman who was a naturopathic physician from Australia. And she told him that the remote outback Aborigines had remarkable healing abilities. And even though that scientific skeptical mind told him that didn't make any sense, he was desperate enough to contact the number that she had to reach one of the Aboriginal tribesmen who had an apartment in Brisbane. He had children who had grown and had moved to Brisbane, so he kind of traversed both worlds. And when he contacted this tribesman named Ray, Ray immediately asked him, "What took you so long? We've been waiting for 4 months." So the Aborigines are so tuned in to this greater consciousness. They are so aware that they knew he was coming and that they were to help heal this man.
And Gary had to get out into the remote outback in his wheelchair.
Right. He was a quadriplegic. He had no feeling from the neck down. He was in a pretty bad state, and he was in a wheelchair, and everybody thought, well, if nobody goes with him, that's just crazy to go to the outback and think that these tribes people can help him when the doctors with all the best medicine available to them can't help him. And he's a triple Scorpio, so he went alone. And he honestly didn't think that he would come back. He brought a voice-activated tape recorder with him, thinking, well, this will certainly tell my children what happened to me, because he didn't think he'd make it back. And he had a totally different transformational journey.
And he walked off the airplane.
He was with the tribe for about 10 days, and in that time, he gained feeling from the neck down for the first time in 7 years. And he clumsily supported himself on the airplane seats on that plane ride back from the outback.
And had many years left after that.
Right, 12 years. Well, yeah, I mean, really from 6 months to 12 years. And he no longer had the MS. The Aborigines had stopped the MS. He had the effects of the MS that he needed to heal. But he came back a totally transformed man, and the Aborigines asked him to take their healing secrets out into the world. They knew that we needed it because we really didn't understand how healing works. You know, but most of the civilized tribes don't understand how it works. And so this is what he spent his life doing, is getting this information out there.
Well, not only that, it wasn't only information. He was gifted with very powerful healing abilities and had amazing charismatic healings that occurred for clients of his and friends of his.
Yeah, and you got to remember, this is a scientist who's been trained that if it can't be proven, it doesn't exist. And he came out of that outback understanding there's a lot of gray that exists, even if you can't prove it. So he started opening up to his abilities and recognized, I mean, he'd been a physicist for years, and now he started opening up to these healing abilities, and he could start, people's skin became transparent to him. He could start seeing tumors, chakras spinning, auras. It was amazing what abilities he gradually picked up, being telepathic. These are things that the Aborigines all do. And he started opening up more and more to those gifts and became aware that he had tremendous healing abilities. He started out with animals and then started progressing into people and people in person and then people remotely. And it was amazing, the transformation.
And you met him after his trip to Australia.
Exactly. He went into the Outback in 94 and I met him in 2001. He had quite a reputation as a healer when I met him. I really became fascinated with his abilities to heal animals. That was one of my passions. And so I reluctantly agreed to quit my job and go work for him if he'd teach me how to heal animals. And along the way, he found out that I had a sister who had uveitis, a very rare eye disease where it's inflammation of the iris. And she had lost all her vision in one eye and had a little bit of peripheral vision in the other eye. And Western medicine had nothing to offer her. And he said, send her out to the Seattle area where we lived. She lived in the Midwest. And I think I can help her. And in 4 days' time, he gave her back her sight. And that won the girl over. I instantly fell in love with the man. I realized he had done that for me. So it flipped the switch, and that was a new beginning.
And the two of you became an item. And you lived in a beautiful house together, got married, and yet there were so many lessons about healing that the two of you had to understand. And he was learning a lot just from the people he was helping and the people he couldn't help.
Exactly. The very first question he asked, he worked with a solar angel. She kind of worked through him. What Gary was really good at was focusing. And he always said that the focused mind is the most powerful tool on the planet. And so by him focusing, the solar angel could work through him so that he could watch her laser tumors off. He could watch her work through him, through his eyes. And so he just started developing these amazing abilities, and they worked together. But the first question he always had to ask whenever anyone came to us was, are we supposed to help this person? Are we supposed to intervene? Because a lot of times that's not the soul's journey. Not a lot of times, but sometimes, especially with children, they deliberately come in with certain diseases because this is what their soul's journey is going to entail.
So, yeah, I've had that experience myself where there are people that I'm just not supposed to help. Mm-hmm. And so the intuition doesn't come through. It's kind of a blank slate. And I look at that and I go, so where is the information that I normally work with? And it's like, well, it's not here for this person.
Yeah.
Because for whatever reason, they're not ready for it or they have other work to do first.
Well, and the Aborigines will talk about how it's an alignment of the body, mind, spirit. And if the spirit, as you know, is not on board with the healing, it's not going to happen. Chances are. So that's what we had to learn. And it was not easy. There were, especially with the children and the babies, I mean, there were situations where you really wanted to help, but you start becoming less attached to the outcome and realizing it doesn't have anything to do with you. It's really that soul's journey and that person. And are they ready to heal?
Right. And I've worked with many people who you can give them all kinds of great healing and healing advice, but they don't take the advice. Mm-hmm. And they just go back to their old ways, and they don't get better.
I saw a lot of people who were healed very quickly and didn't make any changes. And so things will come back again.
Exactly.
You've got to make those emotional changes, get out the emotional root and find out what created this. And that's one of the first steps to Aboriginal healing is, are you willing to make those changes?
Right. And as a healer, we can't be attached to the outcome.
Exactly.
It's very important just to allow everybody to have their own journey and be of all the help that we can. It's a two-way street.
Right. And sometimes you're just planting a seed. You may not get to see it nourished. It doesn't matter. You're just doing what feels appropriate at the moment, being not driven by the mind, but driven by the heart and the soul. What am I supposed to give this person? How am I supposed to help them?
And I find that the mind has so much to do with our work as healers, because it's so much about the information and how the information gets communicated to people. But the mind is only that part of it. The heart has to connect also.
Absolutely.
And not everybody's heart is ready. And there are a lot of people who are attached to their issues and aren't willing to give them up.
And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. And I think, right. I'm sure you've had to learn, Peter, too, how as a healer, it's not your job to fix everybody. It's okay for them to be wherever they're at and at whatever stage and whatever pace they need it to happen. And that if someone comes to me and wants my assistance, then I can step in. But I'm not supposed to go and fix people. That's not my job.
Right. You can help fix people.
I can
people.
Help, yes. There's a difference.
So we'll come back to that. Let's talk about the Aboriginal principles of healing.
Mm-hmm.
How many are there?
They gave us five. You know, I love that the Aborigines are so into simplicity. And they'll tell you it's always simple. Our minds love to complicate it. But it's five simple steps. And these are the healing steps that they've given us that actually they use these five steps not just for healing, they use it for everything. It's the same five steps. Whether you want to manifest a relationship or a business, it's the same five steps. But for the healing, as I said, the first step is willingness. Are you willing to make some changes? Willing to at least move forward? You don't need to know what those changes are, but at least willing to take that first step. And the second step is becoming aware. That's awareness. Becoming aware of why is this here in your path. You know, people, I hear that they want to fight the cancer, or it's like the cancer is simply a messenger. There's an underlying emotional core to it. There is a spiritual component. The cancer is a messenger. And when you understand why that's here and you no longer need it as a messenger, then you no longer need the cancer.
And that's a lot of that head stuff that I was talking about. Mm-hmm. It's the mind understanding the whys and wherefores of what we're undergoing, what our journey is with this, what life experience has been, and how we're holding it to see, to understand ourselves in the process of having some illness.
Absolutely. I mean, I know for myself, I almost died twice. I contracted hepatitis C from a blood transfusion, and that almost killed me. And then the experimental treatment they put me on almost killed me. And I was really a mess. I couldn't finish a sentence because I had so much brain damage. I couldn't remember what I was talking about. I couldn't get out of bed for 6 to 9 months. I mean, Western medicine had nothing for me, and I was determined to stay alive because I had a little boy that motivated me to find answers.
And so, in Western medicine, all they could do is medicate you with terrible side effects.
Exactly. And then they didn't even have that available to me. And I was in pretty bad shape. So that's when I realized, and what I did was actually unknowingly follow the Aboriginal steps. I didn't know about the Aboriginal healing principles, but what I see now that that's exactly what I did. And that's how I healed, and I healed what they considered to be incurable. Hepatitis C, they called it non-A, non-B. They didn't have a name, and they didn't have a cure, and they said it's incurable. And I cured it, and I cured the fibromyalgia and the chronic fatigue syndrome. So, but I needed to go down that journey of contracting these things because I needed to discover how to heal myself and then teach other people. That's my passion, is waking people up to how to heal themselves.
So how do those five steps work for something like that?
So the first one was the willingness. I needed to be willing to change my lifestyle. I was very high stress, working way too many hours, totally numb to my body. I needed to start listening to that inner voice. I needed to start loving and respecting my body. I needed to become aware of what had created this in me. You could say, well, it was a blood transfusion. How is there an emotional core to that? Well, there was. There was. Clearly, I was not honoring and respecting and loving this body and giving it what it needs. So I loved it back to health again. And then the third step is acceptance. You may not like that you have this challenge. You may not like that you've got this disease, but it's there for a reason. And so you start recognizing it's a blessing in disguise. I just may not feel it at the time. And that's one of the things that I love best about the Aborigines is they understand that everything is a blessing. Eventually, you will realize that it's here to help you on some levels. And some of the most painful challenges are some of our biggest blessings. So they will have these challenges and then release it with gratitude once they understand why it's here. And then the next experience, where most of us tend to hang on to stuff. And we develop stories, and we carry it around for a lifetime, and some of us carry it around for many lifetimes. And the Aborigines they're kind of like, well, you civilized tribes really hang on to stuff. And it's about staying in the present moment, releasing the past, realizing it's here for a reason, and then letting it go with gratitude.
All right, and then what step are we on now?
We're on 4. That's empowerment. Take back your power. If I had believed what the doctors told me, I wouldn't be alive today. So I had to take back my power and recognize that I have the ability to heal. Most people, and I really want our listeners to hear this, most people have the ability to heal, just our bodies are crumbling under the emotional weight. And so most of us aren't supposed to get sick. We're just making this harder than it needs to be. So your body always wants to heal. It's just that somehow you're blocking it. So take that power back and be responsible for your own health. Some people, you know, you can't just take your insurance card and hand it over to a doctor and say, fix me. When people came to us to be helped, we let them know, you're very involved in this. This is not that we're just going to fix you and heal you. You need to become very involved.
But the empowerment goes along with awareness, hand in hand, because you don't know what you're lacking power about unless you're aware of the process of your story.
Exactly. That's a great, good point.
Yeah. So you have to integrate all of these principles.
Yes. And then the 5th principle is focus. What are you focused on? And a lot of people tend to focus, I know I did, focus on the negative rather than focusing on what you want, focusing on letting go of the mind's fearful, critical, judgmental, negative stuff, which is very toxic for the body, and start focusing on what you want.
Yeah, a lot of times we have negative stories, fearful stories, or just stories of defeat.
Yes.
And we have to realize that the language we're using about ourselves, when you say, oh, this is killing me, what does that tell your brain? It's not doing a good job because you're still alive. So it better do a better job of killing you.
Exactly. The Aborigines tell us, pay attention to your language, because like you said, every time you say, I can't do this or I have that, well, that's exactly what you're creating. And the Aborigines have been around they're the oldest continuous culture. We know they're at least 60,000 years old. I think they're highly awakened and enlightened. And they are just operating in what science is kind of picking up on. So we could call this quantum physics. You know, what you put out is what you get back. Focus on what you want. They just live it.
Science is getting there, but the field of medicine works with labels.
Yes.
And they love to label everything.
Yes.
And as soon as they label something, what happens?
Exactly.
People get stuck in that label.
Very good point. That's exactly it.
And yet those labels aren't necessarily true, because medicine is trying to pigeonhole it, mm-hmm. and yet it's a dynamic process that they're trying to capture so they can throw some drugs at it. But maybe we can get into the process and understand it in a more helpful way.
That is an excellent point. And the mind is the biggest factor. If you think you can't get better, chances are you won't. And if I had bought into what the doctors were telling me, which they only knew what they knew at the time, saying this is incurable, I would have died from it. I would not have survived.
No. I think doctors also have the worst record when they're ill for survival, because they see the limitations in their medical world and they buy into it.
Exactly.
Whereas a lot of us who have an opportunity to go beyond the medical world in our ideas of healing and alternative opportunities, we have more hope. Mm-hmm. And that hope itself is powerful.
Exactly. And that's what I try to bring to people. Gary, who would have thought a quadriplegic of 7 years could suddenly regain feeling in less than a week. And we saw miraculous things with him all the time when we were helping people. You start expanding and recognizing that these limitations just don't serve you, that there are miraculous. We may call them miraculous, but the Aborigines will say, well, of course, you know.
Yeah. It must have been so fascinating for you, because Gary went there in late 1990s, right?
94, yeah.
94. And then you went on your own after he passed on, You went, what year was that?
I went in 2008. He lived 12 years beyond what the doctor said, and he passed in 2007. And then I was invited to participate with Aboriginal women in 2008. And I don't have any doubt he was involved in that invitation.
To make sure they saw you.
Yeah.
It was a fascinating part of your book to read about your journey into the outback, which isn't the easiest place to get to or live in. And you had to live there in the moment because you never knew what was coming next.
No, it's not like ceremony starts at 5. The Aborigines are so in the present moment, they would convene when everything was right, everything was aligned, and so we just never knew when they were going to yell ceremony. We would put on a black skirt, that was it, nothing else, paint our bodies became the canvas, and run off to the ceremony. And I can't disclose the ceremonies, but I can tell you they were immensely powerful. It was quite an eye-opener on many levels.
Yeah, it was interesting that you had to live in these tents separate from where the Aborigines were living in their tents.
We didn't even have tents. The Aborigines, who are more nomadic, had tents. We had, it's kind of a canvas bag.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I remember reading that.
Yeah.
But I was giving you more credit to being able to live in a tent. But at any rate, you were in these bags on the ground, and all of a sudden you heard somebody shouting, ceremony, and you had to jump and get out to another ceremony.
Right. The Aboriginal women were on one side. There were about 20 of us invited from all over the world on the other side, and we had a liaison who spoke English and Aboriginal in the middle. And she's the one who would yell ceremony, and we never knew when it was going to happen. But you could feel things starting to build. And then about the last day, things had really, the energy had increased. And I could see that they were actually working on us. They were raising our vibrational state. They were, I don't know if they were downloading or uploading, whatever you want to call it.
It wasn't just to entertain you.
No. We were there for a purpose. You know, the Aboriginals, they're starting to open up their world more, and their ceremonies and their healing secrets, because the world desperately needs it. And so this is why the women were very cautious and wanted to open up their ceremonies to very specific women. And the men really didn't want to do it, but the women won out. And so they invited 20 women, let's see how this goes. And they told us that our energy was strong enough that we actually added to the energy that they were creating. But they'd also, I'd wake up during the middle of the night and I'd see this flash, Aboriginal hieroglyphics or squiggles, you know, like their artwork. And I knew something was going on. And I also knew they were telepathic from Gary. So I was a little bit more careful about what my thoughts were running through my head.
Yeah, so. You always have to be careful what you think when you're around telepathic people.
As I learned, Gary was telepathic, and I did not know that the first year of my marriage. So that was interesting.
So he was not only reading your mind, but he was also sending you thoughts that you thought were your own thoughts. You didn't realize he
exactly.
was...
Exactly. When he wanted an ice cream cone, all of a sudden... And I didn't know he was doing this. It took me about a year to catch on. When he'd want an ice cream cone, he'd just send that thought to me, and I'd say, Gary, I'm feeling like an ice cream cone. You want to get one? And he's like, I think that's a great idea. Yeah.
Well, we should all be able to do that. We need to go to the outback to be able to.
Oh, I think you can do it, Peter. I think okay. all of us can do it.
Well, I think our humanity is evolving to a place where we will all have greater abilities.
Mm-hmm. And we used to be telepathic. That's really when things shifted dramatically, is when we were telepathic, we were able to communicate to Mother Earth, to feel the trees and hear them singing to us, and to communicate to the plants and herbs to find out which ones would heal what. And the Aboriginal culture never lost that, the remote ones. And that's why they're still so connected. And they tell us that when, that's the old language, the telepathic language. When we started speaking out loud, we started losing our connection and our abilities to hear that and feel that. And they think that speaking out loud is very primitive and very chaotic. I would totally
agree. So what were they doing if they weren't speaking out loud?
It was telepathic. They didn't have
to speak. No, to each other. Oh, they don't speak very much.
No.
They think to each other.
Exactly. Yeah.
Why would anybody want to leave those communities to go to a less advanced culture in the big cities?
And that's why they have deliberately been safeguarded from civilization. When Gary went into the outback in 1994, these tribes are very small. There's hundreds of them. They're nomadic, but the outback is vast, and there's hundreds of them, and they're very small tribes, maybe two dozen. And so there were only two people that had ever seen outside civilization or a white person. That was Ray, the one who had an apartment in Brisbane, and then the other healer, Rose, who was part English, part Aboriginal. And they brought her in, and they were coming up with metaphors to teach him in those 4 months that they were waiting for him to show up, that he didn't even know about them yet. It's interesting how it took Gary a little while to pick up on what's going on, and he one day noticed in a little girl's smile, as he thought she was adorable, and she smiled, and that's when he started to realize, oh, they're telepathic. They can pick up on my thoughts. And that's why there's not a lot of speaking going on.
And then he became empowered to be able to do that with so many other people.
And animals and birds and, He used to train my, I had these little cockatiel birds. And they used to, he's a very quiet man. He's very humble, very quiet. And he just observed things. And then he'd watch me clean the cage, the bird cage, every morning for about 15, 20 minutes because they pooped along the side. And so one day I noticed that I'm not cleaning up anymore. They're going out to the end of a branch and pooping on the paper down below, and I'm not cleaning the cage. And I asked him, did you communicate with these guys to do that? He said, yeah. Just told him to go to the end of the branch and poop in the corner. And so all I had to do was pick up the paper every morning. It was very easy.
Well, we all need to live that way so we can organize our lives better and make it easier. And so, Robbie Holtz, you live out on the West Coast.
Seattle area.
Seattle. And you have a private practice where you use your Aboriginal healing.
I do. Well, my passion is really awakening people to how to heal themselves and how to awaken. And so I do speaking and get to do radio shows like this one. And I do consultations with people. My thing is just give me 1 hour and I will help you recognize how you've created that illness, what the emotional core is, and how to turn it around.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
And so you're traveling a lot.
Getting that message out there, yeah.
Any plans on going back to the outback? I guess you need to be invited, right?
I suspect next year. I just get that sense, yeah.
Send messages. Send telepathic messages to the tribe.
You want to come?
If I had that opportunity, I would go.
Yeah.
Very, very, very few people have been accepted to connect with these remote tribes who really don't connect with the civilized world.
On purpose.
Yes.
This particular tribe, like I said, had never seen civilization because they don't want to. They're operating at, I think, a much higher level of awareness where they're living in love, service. Gary said they were just tripping over each other to help each other. There's no greed. They don't even have a possessive word that's any kind of a possessive term because there's nothing to possess. It's all one. It's all connected.
Just living in process.
Yes.
So your book is Aboriginal Secrets of Awakening, and it's available. Where can people find it?
Well, that one and the first one, Secrets of Aboriginal Healing, was there. You know, I love to support the little bookstores. So, you know, see if your local bookstore doesn't have it or will order it. But it's always available online, Amazon, Barnes & Noble.
So there are two books.
There's two books. The first book is Secrets of Aboriginal Healing, and that's Gary's journey into the outback and gives healing techniques and takes you through his journey. And then what happens when he comes back from the outback, which I think is fascinating, is picked up in the second book, Aboriginal Secrets of Awakening. And that's a fascinating story whether you've read the first one or not.
And this second book is so much about you, too. So it's wonderful to see how you were healed so much, not only by Aboriginal healing, but by a husband who was a master at it.
Mm-hmm. It takes you through my healing journey and moving from this very stressful career woman to a place of peace and thriving in body, mind, spirit.
That's wonderful. Robbie Holtz, thank you so much for being a guest on Energy Stew.
Thank you.
It's such a pleasure talking with you.
Thank you, Peter.
And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at prn.fm. I can be reached at peter@heartriver.org or 212-222-7748. I'd love to hear from you, and thank you so much for listening.